Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Wow. We had church already, didn't we? It's amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Man, good morning. My name is Raph. I am excited to be here with you. If you don't know me, if you haven't had the pleasure of meeting, I am the associate pastor here at Relentless Church. And just, again, really excited to be here with you all. If you're new, if you're a guest or a first-time visitor, thank you so much for coming. Welcome. We are so glad to have you here. Before I jump into the message this morning, I just had an announcement I want to kind of tell you all right up front, just because I'm super excited about it. You might have heard me mention a couple weeks ago, but we are going back to Honduras. All right. Last year, we took about five people on our first mission trip ever to a town called La Ceiba, Honduras, which is a town or community that we have come alongside and kind of adopted. We partnered with Compassion International, and we've sponsored 58 kids in that same community. And last year, we sent five people on our first trip to kind of establish relationships. They met a ton of the kids that we are sponsoring, and they kind of laid the groundwork for this next trip. We want to take, I think we want to double that, so close to 10 people down. And I'm one of them, so that's why I'm so excited, because I'm going to be there, and I can come back and report to you guys firsthand. But I'm excited about who else God is going to call to be there with us. And so that meeting is next Sunday. Informational meeting on the Honduras trip. Okay, it's next Sunday after church in the glass room. If you were to go out those doors, it'd be kind of right to in front of you. I kind of had some trouble earlier with my rights and lefts, so I'm just going to say go out there and you'll see that glass room. We call it the bookstore, but it's next Sunday, December 15th, after service. So, and again, whether you think you can go on this trip or not, if you're interested about it, just come hear the information. Maybe you can figure out how you can be involved even without maybe going on the trip, but how you can pray, how you can partner with someone else to help get them there. Or if you just got any questions, they'll be answered there. So again, super excited about that, what God is doing, what he's been doing. You know, this whole series is about wonder. The other night, my wife read me a letter that from the mother of the child that we sponsor in Honduras. And man, it just to know that this 20-year-old girl in Honduras who has a couple kids and a whole bunch of stuff she's trying to work through in her life, but her almost her whole letter was asking about our kids and saying that she's praying for us and praying for my kids by name and knowing what they're going through. And just, man, the wonder of a God who can connect us like that and God who's just doing such amazing things, man. It's so cool. It's so powerful. And so, again, really excited about what God is going to continue to do in and through that partnership. As I said, we kicked off this series on wonder last week. I just want to define wonder again right up front, okay? Wonder is this feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. And specifically, what we're talking about in this series is the wonder of God. The wow of God. That's kind of the word that we've clung to for this series, and I think it fits. Just the wow of God and the so many ways that he shows up. God's wonders are supernatural acts that are beyond human understanding. And so when we say that God is a God of wonders, what we mean is that he is a God who carries out miraculous works. He truly is a God of miracles. And his wonders typically accomplish a couple of things. First, they declare his absolute control over everything as creator of the universe. It just displays his power, his control over everything that he created. Secondly, they also reveal his presence among his people, that he is a personal God, that he's here among us, that he's with us, that he's for us, that he loves us. Right, so we see this evidence all throughout Scripture. It's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We see the God of wonders demonstrate his limitless power, his inescapable presence, his divine protection, and his just sovereign purpose through these extraordinary acts, these miracles or wonders. For example, in the Old Testament, we see the signs and wonders that God performs through Moses when he's delivering his people from Egypt, right? He sends the plagues to Pharaoh and the Egyptians in order to get the Israelites, God's people, out of slavery, out of bondage, and he protects them and saves them and brings them out of there safely. And then they get to the Red Sea and they're kind of boxed in because Pharaoh changed his mind and he's chasing them down, and God through Moses splits the Red Sea and delivers us people to the other side, right? And then when they get there to the other side, after God has shown up and saved them and delivered them, he provides for his people. He guides them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, leads them through the wilderness. When they were hungry, he literally fed them with bread from the sky, manna, right? They would wake up hungry in the morning and there's a fresh batch of bread there for them. God's providing for them. When they were thirsty, he provided water from a rock. Over and over again, the God of miracles shows he's a provider, he's a protector, he's a deliverer, he guides his people. He's never far from them. And then, of course, in the New Testament, we see God himself enter human history in the person of Jesus Christ, in the Son of God, as a newborn baby, Jesus, the greatest wonder of all, right? And when he came to earth, prophecies were fulfilled. This baby born of a virgin grew to be a man who lived a perfect, sinless life. Then he died on a cross and rose from the dead 3 days later, giving us the opportunity to be delivered from our sins. Wow. Wow. And that really, that's what Christmas is all about. That's what we celebrate, right? Not the baby itself, but the fact that the baby grew into a man and that man accomplished all these things for us. And Jesus, through his life and his ministry, he performed many miracles as well. These wondrous acts like healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding thousands of people with just one little boy's lunch. He walked on water. He calmed the storm, right? He told the wind and the waves to be still, and they did, and they were. And in each of these instances, God's incredible wonder was designed to draw his people back to himself. God's not into wow for the sake of wow. He didn't perform miracles so that we can just sit back and on, just clap for him. He's not looking for the applause, right? He wants to get our attention, yes, but it's to draw us back into a relationship with him. And so this is what he does over and over again, culminating in the most stunning of all miracles, that the God of wonders revealed himself in Jesus Christ, overcame the power of sin and death, and redeemed his people for all eternity, to which all God's people, anyone who has ever heard that truth and made the decision to believe in it and receive it and put their trust in Jesus for the first time, had to have responded with, wow. Amen. Wow. Right? This is our God. This is how big he is. This is how good he is. This is the incredible wonder of our God. And yet somehow, as we discussed last week, we relegated wonder to kids. Right, as we've let kids corner the market on wonder. They receive it, they accept it, they believe it better and more than we do. Last week we kicked off our Christmas series in RC Kids and elementary and stuff, and to kind of tie in and go along with what we're doing with this series with wonder, we made this wonder wall in the elementary room. Some of you may have seen, we posted some pictures on Facebook, but just put a big sign that said wonder wall, and I had these little sticky notes and index cards, and the idea was for kids to engage with God in kind of a different way, maybe a more creative way, and just to write their questions on there or anything that kind of wows them about God. Really, I left it up to them, just engage with God in this new way, and I kind of forgot about it because I was in here last Sunday, I came in Monday morning and saw the Wonder Wall and saw all the postings up there, and it just, man, it was like, it warmed my heart. It was so cool to see some of the stuff these kids are asking and wondering about. Anything from, I wonder if I'm on the naughty or the nice list, to I wonder if what angels look like, to, man, I wonder if unicorns are real. that one was my favorite because that was my daughter, Gigi. she signed it and everything. I wonder if unicorns are real. And she's in this phase right now where she's just super like creative and her mind is wondering and she's got all these questions and she's really like receptive to that, just how big and how amazing and there's nothing off limits. So she came down to breakfast the other day and I said, good morning, Gigi. And she said, Dad, I got a question. I said, what? She said, do you believe in fairies? I was like, I believe in angels. And she's like, I know you do. I believe in angels too, but do you believe in fairies? And I'm like, man, I'm trying to pull like my my best politician. Like, have you ever seen a politician in the debates or an interview, man, they try to answer a question without answering a question? So I'm like, oh, well, I think it's really cool that you believe in fairies, honey. And she's like, that wasn't my question. Let's just say I'm not getting her vote, okay? Here's the thing, you know, somewhere along the line, I grew up, right? I grew up, I got older, we got jobs, we had a family, our responsibilities grew, we had bills to pay and places to be and things to do. And somewhere in that whole process, man, we decided that wonder, imagination, hope, excitement, expectation, the belief in something so much bigger than you can possibly imagine, something more beautiful than you can imagine. Somewhere along the line, we just decided, hey, that's kid stuff. That's kid stuff. Meanwhile, like David put it so well last week, man, for us at least, for Christians, for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, the more we mature in Christ, the more wonder we should experience. Amen. And yet, if we're honest, that's not always the case for us, is it? For some reason, the older we get, the harder it is to fill our hearts with wonder. And the older we get, the more we need someone bigger than ourselves to remind us, to restore what we've lost. Truth is, only God can fill our hearts with wonder. Yeah. Only God can do that. And this gap, this wonder gap between that we see maybe between kids and adults, that's not the only place it is. It's sometimes I see it, I recognize it, I should say, even in myself, in sometimes in spiritual maturity, in spiritual years, right? So someone who is maybe just new to the faith and just came to Christ versus someone who's been following him 10, 15, 20 years, right? There's a difference in the excitement and the passion and the belief of just how big God is and what he can do, right? If we're honest, we see that it's there. And like I said, I'm the first one to admit that. A couple months ago, I don't know if you guys noticed it. Some of you probably did or heard about it, but Kanye West came out with a new album. Right, it was a rap gospel album is what he called it. Again, I don't know how closely you were paying attention, but when he dropped this, man, there was so much controversy. The internet just about blew up on itself. Everyone and their mother had an opinion. I mean, everybody had to chime in. You had people in the secular world saying, Kanye sold out, man. He ain't no good anymore. Then you got Christians on this side saying, man, his conversion wasn't real. He's not really a Christian. He's just trying to sell records. And then you had other Christians coming to his defense and saying, how can you say that? And you know, blah, blah, blah. Look, we don't know. I don't know Kanye's heart. That's between him and God, right? And I don't think the world needs my opinion, so I'm not going to throw it out there, at least on the internet, to just chime in for no reason, all right? But I will share with you guys, it piqued my interest, right? And I said, at the very least, I got to hear this for myself. And so I downloaded the album, and I listened to it. And again, I'm not talking about the quality of his music or whether you like him or are for him or any of that. I want to share with you all what I heard, what I felt, and what God spoke to me as I heard that album. He convicted me very clearly. And what I heard was a man who had clearly been wowed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and had no other choice but to worship him. And you think about the context of Kanye and who he is and what he's achieved, right? 22 or something Grammys and counting, right? It's has more money than he'll ever need. All the accolades, the fame, he's traveled the world. Pretty much anything that the world has to offer that could possibly wow Kanye West, he has experience. He's been there and done that. And the thing that got him, the thing that actually brought that wow and wrecked him and changed him to the point where he said, I got to share this with people, was Jesus. Was the gospel of Jesus. And I heard that and I listened to that, and I'm gonna be very honest with you. God convicted me, and he said, he spoke to my heart, just impressed upon me something so clearly. He said, you used to be like that. He said, you used to feel that way. You used to be so excited. You used to be so grateful for Jesus. You used to be so passionate about what he did in his life. There was a time when you were walking around with a hole in your heart and you tried to fill it with anything and everything you ever could, and nothing worked until you met me, and then everything changed for you, and you couldn't help but spill that out onto people without even trying. And it wrecked me, man, because he was right. And it just, I've been wrestling with that for the past couple of months, and Last week, David asked the question, when was the last time you were wowed by Jesus? And I don't know when that was for you. I don't know what that looked like for you, but I'm willing to bet it led you to worship him. I'm willing to bet it did because it had to. It had to. That is the only logical response to coming into contact with the wow of Jesus, is to worship him. That's the only natural reaction to the wonder of God, is to worship him. Here's the point. Here's where we're going today. Our ability to continue to be wowed by Jesus is directly connected to our desire to worship him. Our ability to continue to be wowed by Jesus is directly connected to our desire to worship him. In other words, I think for many of us, the lack of wow we are experiencing in our daily lives is directly connected to the lack of worship we are doing with our daily lives. Now remember, when I say worship, I'm not talking about just singing songs, right? It's more than that. It's bigger than that. That's a form of worship, yes, and it's beautiful, and God gave it to us, and that's why we do it, right? That's a part of it, but it's so much bigger than that. The Apostle Paul described true worship perfectly in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This passage contains all the elements of true worship, okay? First is there's the motivation of worship, right? Here's the motivation to worship. In view of God's mercies. In view of God's mercies. God's mercies are everything that he has ever given us that we do not deserve. Eternal salvation, eternal love, eternal grace, the gift of the Holy Spirit in us to guide us, everlasting peace, a peace that transcends understanding, okay, joy, a joy that transcends circumstance, comfort, strength, wisdom, hope, patience, kindness, honor, glory, righteousness. Jesus' right standing with God, I have that now through him. That's one of his incredible mercies. Protection, security, eternal life. Freedom from sin here and now on this earth, but also eternity in heaven with him. And I could go on and on and on, right? Wow. Wow. Paul says, it's the knowledge and understanding of these incredible gifts that should lead us, that should motivate us to pour out our praise and thanksgiving. In other words, to worship. To worship. It's the understanding of God's mercies and what they mean for us personally that is our motivation to worship. Then he goes on to describe the manner of our worship. He says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Offering our bodies means giving all of ourselves to God. Giving all of ourselves. The reference to our bodies here means all of our human faculties, right? All of our humanness, our mind, our thoughts, our hands, our hearts, our activities, everything that we do, to turn it all over to God, to give it to him as an offering. They're to be presented to God. In other words, we're to give up to control of these things and turn control over to him. Just like a literal sacrifice in the Old Testament was given completely to God, right? You take a perfect, spotless, unblemished baby lamb and offer it to God on the altar, sacrifice it to him. Only now we don't need a blood sacrifice. Jesus did that for us, amen? So now what he wants, what he requires from us is a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We are offering God a life of love and service in the name of Jesus Christ. That's our worship. And so how do we do that? How do we do that? Again, Paul was pretty clear. He gives us instructions. He said, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. See, there's a pattern to this world. There is an earthly wisdom, Okay, it's a pattern. It's a rhythm of the world, the wisdom of the world that unfortunately is far too common. Okay, and he says it's really easy for us to fall into that. Why? Well, because everybody else is doing it. Because it's the path of least resistance, right? Yet Paul here is saying, don't do it. Do not conform, right? Do not conform. Why? Because that road leads you away from God. Because that road leads you, that path, that decision, that choice, that way of life is the opposite of worship. It separates you from God. It creates distance between you and him. So what do we need to do instead? He says, be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. What's that look like? To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's that mean? Means after salvation, means when you give your life to Jesus, you say, I'm no longer going to live for myself anymore, but I'm going to live for you. I'm going to put my faith in you, Jesus, okay? You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It now lives in you. He lives in you, and he guides you, okay? Believers have a new perspective on life. Followers of Jesus have a new outlook on the world, a new worldview, and it's based on the Word of God, and is propelled by his Spirit that lives in you. And that is what transforms the mind and the lifestyle of new believers, of Jesus followers. We look at reality in a totally different way. Why? Well, because we've been energized by the Spirit. Because our hearts have been filled with the wonders of God and his incredible mercy. His incredible mercy. And so this brand new Spirit-led mind and a heart full of wonder results in a new lifestyle. I can't live the way I used to live anymore after I come into contact with the mercy of Jesus. I've got a new lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that Paul calls true and proper worship. And so there's this beautiful connection that Paul's describing here that I've witnessed in my own life where the wonder of God leads you to what Paul calls true and proper worship. And then that worship, in turn, reminds you of the wonder of God. Right? The wonder of God leads me to worship him, and then when I worship God, it reminds me of his wonder. Wonder leads to worship, and worship leads back to wonder. Wonder leads me to worship God. And then when I worship him, it leads me back to the wonder of God. And I think that God strategically uses this connection between wonder and worship to first draw us into himself, but then keep us coming back. Why? Because he knew we'd have a tendency to drift. Right? As humans, in our own human sinful nature, we have a tendency to drift from God. To let the distractions of this world, to let the wisdom of this world, to let our circumstances or the enemy or anything else, right, drive a wedge between us and God. And he knew that might be the case. And so he gave us this gift of worship and wonder to draw us back to him. And so what if we made the decision today not just to recognize that, but to step into it and fully embrace it? What if we renewed our minds in such a way that when we started to feel ourselves drifting away from the wonder of God or fall out of worship, that triggered something in us to do something about it. So that the next time I find myself in a season where I'm not experiencing the wonder of God or like I've somehow distanced myself from the wonder of God, what if the next time it's just been way too long since I have been wowed by Jesus, it caused me to stop and ask some questions. Am I worshiping? Am I worshiping? What does my worship look like? How is my worship? Is it true and proper worship? Am I renewing my mind? Am I being transformed by God's Spirit in me? Or has it just become a song? Am I worshiping God with my whole heart? Am I worshiping God with my life? What if those questions allowed me to examine my worship in such a way that it led me back to the wonder of God, the truth of his love and his mercy and his grace and what he accomplished for me, the new life that he's given me, his forgiveness. What if we let worship do what it was always meant to do and lead us back to the wonder of God? And vice versa. So that the next time you find yourself in a place where you don't feel like worshiping, maybe because you're just in a really tough season of life, or maybe it's because of a specific set of circumstances. Finances are in trouble. You lost your job. Family problems. Health issues. Right? Maybe a tragedy happened in your life and you're dealing with that. Maybe it's relationship issues or you're struggling with depression and anxiety. Whatever the case may be, right? For whatever reason, you just can't bring yourself to worship right now in this season. What if instead of allowing those circumstances to drive a wedge between you and God, what if you decided to step back and just for a moment or two, you set everything else aside and you allowed yourself to focus in on the wonder of God, to reflect just on how big he is. Just for a moment or two, allow yourself, reflect how big God is, the wonder of his creation, the fact that the same God who created the heavens and earth, the moons and the stars, the ocean and the mountains, that he knows your name, that he's got the hairs on your heads counted to the very last one, that he's a personal God. What has he done for you personally? That on your worst day, Romans 5:8, God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he sent Jesus to the cross for us. That there's nothing you need to do or can do to clean yourself up. That God takes you as you are and says, I love you, you're mine. You are redeemed, you're adopted. You're my son, you're my daughter, you're forgiven. You have eternity in heaven. Man, what if we were just a little bit more intentional about creating the time and space to reflect on and focus on the wonder of Jesus? I'm telling you, if we did that, it wouldn't be long before we started worshiping again. Wonder leads to worship, and worship leads back to wonder. And again, true worship is about so much more than singing songs. I know I mentioned that already, but it's really important that we understand that. Okay, because I love to worship God through songs, right? That's one of my favorite things to do. But we need to understand that music cannot produce worship. It can produce emotion, but not worship. Music can be an expression of worship, but it's not the origin of worship. The origin of worship, the source of true spiritual worship, is a heart that has been fully captivated and consumed by the mercies of God. That is the origin of our worship, the wonder of God. In view of God's mercy, this is your true and proper worship. I kind of have this reputation on staff for being a worshiper. the joke is basically Raph has never heard a worship song he didn't like. So because we go to, you know, staff, we'll have staff meeting on Monday or Tuesday, and we'll kind of talk about last Sunday service and plan ahead for the next service. And, you know, maybe Seth or Vasty will introduce a new song. Like, hey, you know, do you think our people would like this? Do you think we should do this song? What do you guys think? And every time I'm like, I could worship to that. Like, they don't even ask me anymore. Like, we know what you're going to say. We need someone else's opinion. But the truth is, man, I wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that for me. I talked about, you know, God convicted me through that Kanye album, man. When I first started going to church, because my wife dragged me, or just to make her happy, really, not because I was seeking Jesus or wanted to go, and I'd be there, and the worship service would start, and it was the worship moment when they'd be up there playing music. I was that guy standing there with my hands in my pockets just looking around, just people watching. Just like, what is happening? Every time, like, what's going on? Right? For like over and over again. So about 3 months in, finally one day, it must have been a particularly powerful worship set. God was doing his thing. But again, I'm sitting there with my hands in my pockets. Only this time I feel like it's only me. Like literally everyone in the church has hands up, swaying, moving. Some people got tears dripping down their face. And I'm just like, what is happening? Something, because this many people can't be faking it, but I don't feel it, right? And so I'm like, what? I closed my eyes and said, God, something is happening. I'll give you that. Something's going on in here, but why isn't it happening to me? Why don't I feel it? If you are real, if this is real, I need you to show me. I need you to give me a sign. I need you to do something. I prayed that prayer, honestly. And then, you know, the worship was over, and we sat down and the pastor came out and started to preach his message. And I swear, it was like this guy had hacked my phone, hacked my emails, was spying on me for years, because every word that he said was ripped out of the pages of my life. I might as well have been the only person in the room, and he was preaching directly to me. And I never experienced anything like it. And so this is a church that did communion during service. And so during communion at the end of service, I closed my eyes. And no sooner did I close them, did God, I feel for the first time in my life, God speak to me. And he said, anything else you need, right? Like, is there anything else I can get? I sent this amazing woman into your life to draw you closer to me. I've been trying to connect with you through these songs. I sent a pastor to preach the message out of the pages of your life. Like, what more do you need? In that moment, I got it. And I gave my life to Jesus. I never looked back. I never looked back. This was a little over 9 years ago, right? Spring of 2010. And from that moment on, worshiping in church has never been the same for me. It became a way for me to communicate with God everything that I had been feeling in my heart that I didn't have the words to express on my own, especially as a new Christian. Because I'd be feeling all these things, but I don't even know what they are or how to express them. And then worship would begin, and there's this amazing song with these words on the screen, and everything that I'm reading is everything that I'm feeling. And so I can just repeat them back to God. And it became my favorite way to communicate to him. I love to worship God through song now. And I love to do it at church on Sundays with my brothers and sisters by my side. That's my favorite way to connect with God. And if I'm honest, it's become really, really natural and easy for me. But if I'm staying honest, I think I can do a whole lot better at worshiping God with the rest of my life. Not just on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday. Not just in these big, amazing moments where he shows up for me, but in all the little moments. I guess what I'm saying is I want to be wowed by Jesus again. I want to be wowed by Jesus again. And that's not to say that I need him to do anything else. That I need him to show up and do something even more special. No, that's not what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying is I want to be reminded of what he's already done. I want to go back to that place. I want to be reminded of the wow in my marriage. That when I look at my wife, whose wisdom and compassion and sensitivity and support blesses me on a daily basis, but also reminds me of the wonder of God's perfect plan for marriage. That as she and I grow closer to him, that we really do grow closer to each other, and two really do become one. That's an amazing miracle of God. It's a mercy of God. I want to slow down enough to see the wow in my kids. So that when I see their laughter, their curiosity, their boldness. These are all reflections of God's wonder. They're created in his image. When I look at them, I want to be reminded to see that. And the unconditional love that I have for them. I never thought one human being can love another so much. And then we had another one, and I was like, well, how can I love this one as much as I love that one? But something miraculous happened. It was like my heart doubled, and then it tripled. How does that happen? Only God can do that, right? That's one of the wonders of God. And guess what? It's a reflection of his love for me, which his word says surpasses all understanding. So I understand how much I love my kids, and I know what that feels like. And God says it's like times a billion. You can't even understand it, how I feel about you. Wow. Wow. Man, I need to be reminded of what it felt like the first time I believed and trusted in that for myself. And I want to rest in that place. I want to keep coming back to it over and over again. That's what worship does. That's what it was meant to do. Wonder leads to worship, and worship leads back to wonder. It's a beautiful connection that God has given us. And I think as we learn to step into that rhythm, God's going to continue to bring the wow. I promise you that. If we bring our worship, man, we're going to start seeing the transformation that we seek in so many areas of our lives. I really do believe that. We're going to see the transformation in our marriages, in our relationships with our kids, and in our families, and in our schools, and in our community, and in our church. I promise you, as we step into that, God's going to keep showing up. Wonder leads to worship, and worship leads back to wonder. And so, as I wrap this thing up, I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. And they're going to prepare to lead us in one last song. And as we worship together through this last song, I want you to just create that space right now, whatever it looks like for you. If you want to stay seated and communicate with God, if you're where I was less than 10 years ago and you're still not, don't know if you're buying this thing and you just need to communicate, I invite you to do that. God welcomes that conversation, okay? Challenge him. Dare him to show up in your life. I encourage you to do that. If you want to, whatever it looks like for you, I just want you to create this space right now in these next few moments to reflect and focus in and remember, or for the first time, acknowledge the wow of God in your life. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your mercies, which are unending. Thank you that as my brother Seth shared so vulnerably, that as he sits on the beach and looks out to the ocean and the sun and the stars, he is reminded of you and he can do nothing else but call out to you. Thank you for that beautiful reminder, God, of who you are and how big you are. Thank you that you saw fit on our worst day. We didn't have to clean ourselves up. But when we were at our worst, you saw fit to send your son to take our place, to die the death that we deserve. Thank you for the freedom that gives us. Thank you for the new life we have, for the transformation we are experiencing because of you. Father, in these next few moments, I just pray that you would help us. Every person in this room, I pray they would leave here forever changed because of a real life encounter with your son, Jesus Christ, right now. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.